Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Song now move in already.
Democrats put forth,
and because I'm too nice, he's of his career at least one of the most public controversies. He's done things that are far worse than attack the Supreme Court. Even the tepid midstream media today pretended to be outraged. They had to show their creds, and they try to stand up to the Carney Barker, which is the soundbite I wanted to play. So let us begin with the soundbite that I wanted to play. Clip three, please.
Of course, he was referring to the fact that it would be unprecedented in the modern era of the Supreme Court, since the New Deal era, for the Supreme Court to overturn legislation passed by Congress designed to regulate and deal with the national economic...
You're wrong, Pat. Hey, Schmendrick, turn him off. Schmendrick Carney is wrong. It is not unprecedented in the modern era for the Supreme Court to overturn legislation meant to deal with a national economic issue. I don't know where these academicians are coming from, but they don't even know their own history. Here I am, a non-lawyer. What do I know? Only a PhD from the University of California and the author of 27 books. I can't be as smart as the geniuses who are working for Obama. But in my own way, I discovered and wrote about the fact that the Schechter case is a clear precedent for what's going on now, because the Schechter case occurred under FDR, and it was clearly an economic issue, and the Supreme Court said to the president at that time, you're not going to centralize everything, goodbye. So I'm showing you that I, a talk show host, know more than the president does. I, a talk show host, know more than almost everybody in Congress does about what's going on. Now the other one you're not going to believe. Here's the mayor of Washington, D.C. Remember him? The cokehead, Marion Barry? He says things now about Asians that you're not going to believe in clip 18.
We got to do something about these Asians coming in, opening up business, these little dirty shops. And they ought to go. I just say that right now. You know, but we need African-American business people to be able to take their places, too.
Right on. You tell him. We got to do something about these Asians coming and opening up businesses in dirty shops. Now, I have not yet seen any mobs out in the streets trying to harm Asians. But then, of course, the reverends right now are very busy in Florida, so they can't go there and start a riot against Asian shop owners and cause another Freddy's Fashion Mart fire outside an Asian store. But given time, perhaps the good reverends will come up from Florida and see what they can do to help Mayor Barry doing something about these Asians coming in. So you see, under Obama, it's all about race. You could see under Obama, we are now entering a pre-Johnson era, a pre-LBJ era. We've been taken back 60 years in this country by this administration. But I don't want to get angry, because there's things going on in the radio media that I can't tell you about, where operators are now afraid of any kind of controversy. They want nice talk. They want easy listening. So I could do FM Bob for you. So I can do lifestyle, I can give you meatball recipes, I can use my sonorous voice to calm women and other listeners so that they don't get excited, because women are afraid of loud men. Women are apparently afraid of angry men. Women are afraid of men who stand up to tyranny. Women are afraid of men who say anything that might be construed as controversial. You see, all women are like Ann Romney. They want a pocketbook carrier to stand next to them, someone to stand next to them with a sheepish grin and let them take over. So I'm going to be the sheepish husband of the Savage Nation, no longer the shepherd of the Savage Nation. I will become the sheepish grin of the Savage Nation. I will not say anything that might rile anyone or frighten anyone, because, after all, we're living in an America that needs calmness right now. Do you have any bookstore horror stories? Because I do. I do. I went to my local Barnes & Noble. I was riding my bicycle, had my normal outfit on, which is really just old clothes. I've not yet gone out and bought the Jester costume, which shows my private parts in the rearview mirror. I wear old clothing and a helmet, so perhaps I was mistaken for a bum. I go into my local B&N and I don't see my own book. Normally, I mean, they sell the book. I'm a local. I don't see the book, so I ask for the manager. She's in a meeting. So then the clerk says, I'll get you the other manager. I go to see him, and let us put it to you this way. How can I put this in a delicate, non-offensive manner? Not my kind of guy. In fact, not your kind of guy. In fact, not a guy at all, but looked like a man but wasn't. Does that explain it? And she says, the author Michael Savage is here, wants to know where his book is, Trickle Down Tyranny. I'm busy with a customer, and he scurries away. So I have a bookstore horror story for you. But I was on my good friend Jerry Doyle's show today. He's syndicated by the same talk radio network. We did very well. He was very complimentary. And Fox News, of course, has now hired Jesse Jackson's daughter, owing to her extreme intellect, because she has such a sterling intellect and she's so well known for her Nobel Prize-winning intellect, Roger Ailes had to hire her. Now, I want to talk about something that's very close to my heart, which is the radio industry. I'm going to do it in a very non-threatening way to anybody. For years now, I've had a lot of strife in my career. I've had I was banned in England. That's almost killed me. It's gone on. The matter is, radio is a rough and tumble business. It's an up and down business, and I've gained affiliates, I've lost affiliates, I've gained advertisers, I've lost them. It's no secret. I have nothing to hide. I'm very proud of my show and my advertisers. It's still the third largest show in the country. But a tsunami is about to hit the radio landscape that you may not be aware of. And when the tsunami hits, the conservatives in the business who think they're God Almighty, who have done nothing for anyone but themselves, I do not think they're going to be able to take that wave the way I have. That's all I want to say. I don't even have to name names. But a tsunami is about to hit the radio industry, unlike any that's ever hit it. It's far more damaging than the long-feared fairness doctrine. There is no fairness doctrine. It's done behind the scenes. It has been done behind the scenes by the Obama administration, who's gone to station operators, large conglomerates, and said to them, if you want to stay in business, if you want to play ball, if you want to continue to expand your monopolies, you're going to play ball with us and you're going to get rid of some of these people. You're going to tone it down and you're going to put a schmuck on who plays a guitar who nobody will listen to. And you're going to put more minorities on and you're going to put more talentless people on, so long as there's no attack on the president. That's what's coming. I can tell you right now that's what's coming. So I'm used to adversity, but the gods of the radio business are not used to adversity. And they're not going to survive it as well as I. They're probably going to drown when it hits them. 1-800-4, and I went over like a... school removes God from God Bless the USA song for assembly. Romney says Obama wants us to reelect him to find out what he'll do. That's exciting. That's a real leadership position. Let's see. Jay Carney Barker says the president, do you really want to care about the Supreme Court attack by Obama? How about D.C. Mayor Marion Barry saying we've got to do something about these Asians and their dirty shops? We need African-American business people to be able to take their places. Do you find it all offensive? Or do you think he was entitled to say that about Asians? Is there a kind of a triple standard in America? Now, what if some whack job teen mobs, who's going to be blamed for that? Huh? I mean, where do they get the ideas from? Okay, well, you don't care. A couple of good reviews for the book. I'm reeling, like, from head to toe. The best reviews from The American Thinker, Trickle Down Tyranny by Larry Anderson. If you're an intelligent person and like reviews and want to read it, you should read it because you'll then go buy the book. Forgot to tell you. Trickle Down Tyranny has sold sufficient copies to probably be number one on the New York Times list, which we won't know until next Tuesday. We're only 5,000 copies away from doing that. But since Michael doesn't do any book signings, since Michael is banished on Fox News and every other media outlet except the network I'm on, since I'm banned in England and banned in New York City and Los Angeles by the media barons, I need you. Okay, so I need you, the Savage Army, to do this. If you're thinking about buying a copy for, well, yourself, for a salami, for the boy in the army, whatever, you got to do it this week. The first week is the most important week. It's like a breakfast. You know, they say breakfast is the most important meal. I don't believe it, by the way. But they say breakfast is the most important meal. It's the meal upon which you build it. Adele Davis wrote it. Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper. She was wrong. She died of a terrible disease from too much vitamin B12. But that's a separate story. I did a nutritional autopsy of poor Adele Davis in one of my books in 1981, I think. It was awful. She was a big believer in mega doses of B12. And unfortunately, the type of cancer she died from happens to be stimulated by mega doses of B12. Don't get me started on mega doses of vitamins. I take mega doses of vitamins, but I avoid certain vitamins like the plague. For example, I never took amino acids in isolates. I knew that they might be deadly, and I was 100% right. So, you know, you can ridicule me all you want, but I have knowledge that you wouldn't even know. And what I've forgotten already in nutrition, most of the doctors today never even learned. Does it make me better than them? Yes, in nutrition. Certainly not in healing bones and hearts and minds and all of that stuff. So if you have a nutrition question, don't call me. If you have a question about the growing tyranny in the White House, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Or if you have a bookstore horror story, give us a call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Let's put this in perspective. Congress has always been a mockery since the beginning of our country. And if you look at the history of it, they've always been fighting over one thing or another. When Speaker Polk, one of the only speakers...
Now, let's stop right here. This is Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, saying that Congress has always been a mockery since the beginning of our country. Here is a woman who says that they need to become more civil. Here is a woman who doesn't even understand that she lives in a democracy because she's used to a dictatorship. Here is a woman who is so out of touch with her nation, her country, her religion, the values of her own people, that she becomes a caricature of something beyond comprehension. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi says to that fool, Charlie Rose? Charlie Rose, no one listens to. He's used as a fulcrum for the left-wingers in Congress and the media to act like they're smart. I want you to again listen to Nancy Pelosi, the dictator, who doesn't understand that arguing in Congress is a mark of a viable democracy. Listen to this dictator, Nancy Pelosi. Listen to the tyrant in a skirt.
Let's put this in perspective. Congress has always been a mockery since the beginning of our country. And if you look at the history of it, they've always been fighting over one thing or another.
Okay, that's how it works in a dictatorship, right, Nancy? No, that's how it works in a democracy, Pelosi. But you're used to forcing people to do what they don't want to do. You and your boss. Now listen to this, what Nancy Pelosi says now in 13 to that stooge hack, Charlie Rose in 13.
I say to my Republican friends, and I do have many, take back your party. This is the grand old party.
Take it back from whom?
take it back from extremists who are taking it over the edge, anti-government ideologues who really don't believe in a public space.
See, this is one of the greatest lies. Hitler's henchman, Goebbels, said that if you tell a big lie often enough, it will become the truth. The Democrats have been taken over the edge by Pelosi and Obama and Holder and Harry Reid, who are so far left and so corrupt that there is no Democrat Party left anymore. So instead of admitting that they're out of touch with their own party, that Democrats are afraid of them, she now says to these moderate, middle-of-the-road, virtually pinko Republicans that they're too conservative and too right-wing. Look at the world I'm living in. Would you ever think that you would wake up to a woman like this, of this mentality, saying things like this, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives, saying that Congress has always been a mockery and the GOP should be taken back from the edge of the extremists who've taken it over, when in fact it's the Democrat Party that's been taken over the edge by Pelosi and her kind and Obama and his kind? You follow me? Okay, let's go to the callers and see what you have to say. This is only one man's opinion, by the way. I'm not saying it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's my truth. Is it your truth? Huh? All aboard. All aboard. Florida Martin, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you've got to be kidding me. You don't think they're going to allow you to be number one on the New York Times bestseller, do you?
Well, I don't know. If it sells enough copies, they'll have to post it as number one. And then, you know what an embarrassment it would be if the New York Times bestseller list, number one book is Trickle Down Tyranny? The author says that Obama has a dream of the socialist states of America. Do you have any idea what that would do to the geopolitical landscape if that book hit? You realize what would happen?
It would drive them absolutely insane, even more insane than they already are.
Well, Martin, did you buy it yet, or you want a free copy?
No. I already bought it. If you're gonna...
Oh, you're getting one anyway. Send it to your boy in the army. A salami.
Savage.
So Congress is a mockery, according to the great genius Nancy Pelosi, and she wants the GOP to take back their party from extremists, while the communists and the hucksters who have stolen the Democrat Party are just absolutely in the center, just centrists, as long as she says so. How do the American people not see this? I don't know how anyone could ever vote for a Democrat anymore unless they work for the party or they get the graft from the party. Why would you vote for them? They're selling your country down the river. It's not just an alternate opinion on how to run America. It's do or die. It's either survive or lose the nation. You know, I just found an article sent to me by a friend that I posted on michaelsavage.com. You haven't seen it yet, but the Dutch, here's my headline. Dutch ditch multiculturalism. Tell Muslims to shape up or ship out. Did you hear what they've done in Holland? You haven't heard yet, huh? Hasn't it make it to your local paper where everyone has to tread lightly around Islam and Muslims and everyone has to say the terrorists, we don't know who they are, we don't know who did this, that, we don't know, we have no idea, don't tell me about, oh no, another mosque here, another mosque there, here a mosque, there a mosque, everywhere a mosque, mosque. Well, the Dutch have apparently had enough of this. Here's what they said. Did you hear what happened? They've given up multiculturalism. Take a look at it. Their headline is, let's go with the Dutch, but why wait until 2013? The Netherlands, where 6% of the population is now Muslim, is scrapping multiculturalism. The Dutch government says it will abandon the longstanding model of multiculturalism that has encouraged Muslim immigrants to create a parallel society within the Netherlands. A new integration bill, attention Mitt Romney, a new integration bill which Dutch Interior Minister Donner presented to Parliament on June 16th of last year reads, the government shares the social dissatisfaction over the multicultural society model and plans to shift priority to the values of the Dutch people. In the new integration system, the values of the Dutch society play a central role. So with this change, the government steps away from a model of a multicultural society. The letter continues. A more obligatory integration is justified because the government also demands that from its own citizens... demands that from its own citizens. This is necessary because otherwise the society gradually grows apart and eventually no one feels at home anymore in the Netherlands. The new integration policy will place more demands on immigrants. For example, immigrants will be required to learn the Dutch language, and the government will take a tougher approach to immigrants who ignore Dutch values or disobey Dutch law. Attention, Eric Holder. The government will also stop offering special subsidies for Muslim immigrants because, according to Donner, it is not the government's job to integrate immigrants. Can you believe this? The government will introduce new legislation that outlaws forced marriages and will also impose tougher measures against Muslim immigrants who lower their chances of employment by the way they dress. Oh! More specifically, the government will impose a ban on face covering, Islamic burqas as of January 1, 2013, period, over, end of story. Holland has done that whole liberal thing and realized, maybe too late, that creating a nation of tribes will kill the nation itself. The future of America, Australia, the United States, and Canada may as well be exactly the same. The fact of the matter is the countries behind, the very same countries they've left behind. Nobody will say that. Now you understand why radio industry executives are running scared for men like Michael Savage. But then, let me put it to you this way. If my voice is silenced, as it has been in this country for a long time now, all you will have left are the leg crossers of Fox News who pretend that they're wild and crazy while you and I both know the country will disappear in your children's lifetime. So let's get to the callers. Toot sweet. Let's go to New York, WOR, Stephen. Sorry for using the French. What's on your mind, Stephen?
Hi, Mike. Hey, I'm just about finished with the audio version of your book, and I got one thing that you missed out on, and you definitely need to put a health warning on that thing because it's definitely got my blood pressure up.
Ha, 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 ha. That's funny. Well, if there was a lie in the book or a misstatement, I would remove it. But a review just came out today that said, in trickle-down tyranny, the book hits the reader like a head-on collision with a freight train of facts. You're saying the same thing.
That's an understatement, and I encourage all your readers to go out there, and you really lined everything up and laid it out beautifully, and you didn't miss too many points that I can see, and I've been listening to you for a long time.
You know, Stephen, a lot of people have said that this is my best book. Reviewers, intelligent reviewers, intellectual reviewers, if you want to use that term, who've known me for years and read other books, they claim that I finally hit my peak in this book. And that they think this is my best book. And the fact of the matter is it is my last nonfiction book. And I think that everybody who's ever bought one of my books has to buy this one. Not because it will change my lifestyle. I want to repeat that to the phonies out there who are putting garbage out on the internet saying that I'm a good bookseller. I could care less if I make money or lose money with this book. But the fact of the matter is it's the last chance we have. That's why I wrote it. I've made the statement, and I'm not going to go back on it. It's my last non-fiction book. Yes, you will see a fiction book from me next December called Train Tracks. And God willing, I might write another fiction book. And, of course, I have another novel coming out. But as far as these kinds of books, they're too difficult to write because the research is overwhelming. Otherwise, you're just writing a book along the lines of a Hannity, where there's a picture of a pretty boy on the front cover and empty pages in between, sort of like what you find between his ears. Thank you very much for the call. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What else would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Does anyone remember Breitbart? Look what happens. See, people disappear. No one even knows that they're alive. There's a very short memory in this country of anybody. I don't care who you are. It's a very short shelf life. Andrew was here. He died of a heart attack. So what does that tell you about life? What does it tell me about life? I don't really know what it tells anybody about life. I know this, is that while you're here on Earth, certainly you want to have a good time. You want to make some money. You want to try to not get hurt. You want to try not to hurt others. And the fact of the matter is, along the way, if you're lucky enough and driven enough, maybe you want to do something good for humanity. Just maybe you want to do something that will leave a legacy that is worth leaving. Maybe you want to leave a little notch in history that has some meaning. You know what I'm saying? Some people do and some don't. I have believed since I'm 16 years old that a man is born and lives and dies, obviously. And during that period, he tries to leave a little notch somewhere, something that I don't know, that makes a difference, something that changes things for the better. That's what I've always believed. And if you look at my history as a writer, you look back at my nonfiction books, Plant a Tree, 1976, Macmillan Publishing. Would you believe I would have written a book on trees? That I went state to state around the 50 states and I investigated all of the street trees of America and I found out which ones were good and which ones were not, you know, very good. And I recommended state by state, county by county, which trees to plant to make the country more beautiful. I was sort of like a Johnny Appleseed. Then I wrote nutrition books way before people even knew what nutrition was in this country. There were giants in the field, believe me. Linus Pauling was a great giant. Eric Hoffer, my friend Richard Cunyon, Bob Cathcart. Well, you know, only one of them is still alive. So my nutrition books made a difference. My herbal books made a difference. And then I got into the politics. 1994, I started in talk radio. And I wrote one political book after another. Some of them were better than others. Some were mere entertainment. Some were derivative. I am telling you as I stand here, this book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is the last nonfiction book I will write and the only nonfiction book you ever need to buy. Because if you don't buy it, see, here's the point. I want you to understand the power of a book's cover. Okay, let's get very simple and basic. You buy a book, you put it on your desk at work. Coworkers walk by. Everyone's a busybody. They see what's on your desk. Do you have any idea what power there is in the cover of a book that says Trickle-Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America? Do you have any idea what's going to happen to you at work when you put that book on the desk? Do you have any idea what's going to happen when you walk around with it in your arm in America? Do you dare stand up for what you believe in? Because if you don't, then Obama will crush all of us, as sure as I'm standing here. The thugs and the gangsters who have ridden over us like we're nothing but peons will even get worse, is how I, old Doc Savage, see it. Now, if you think this is hype, I can't help you. Then my prognosis is quite poor. If you are that cynical that you think it's simply hype, I can't help you. Then the patient is dead already. That's as simple as that. But if, on the other hand, you believe there's a glimmer of hope and a glimmer of a chance, bingo, do something about it. Texas, CJ, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael Savage. Thank God for you. You tell the truth. I've called you before. I love you. Keep on doing it, brother. I feel like you. I want to scream.
Oh, you're CJ from Texas. Go ahead. Get it out. Let's have the primal scream, CJ. I want to hear it.
I've already done it, brother. I can't do it anymore.
I know what you mean. You can't do it on command. So, CJ, how are you doing down there in Texas?
Oh, yeah, it's great, brother. I'm living a life large. You know what I'm saying? I got a Palin sticker on my car. I mean, people just freak out. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to even talk about it.
CJ, you live in a cracker country. Are they right-wingers or left-wingers?
Do what?
The cracker county you live in, are they mainly Democrats?
It's screwcrats. That's what it is. It don't make a dang.
Okay, you're getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny if you promise to carry it in the rear window of your car.
Thank you, brother. I will. I got my cowboy's hat in the rear window of my car. I'll put it up there and it'll fade in the sun. God bless you.
Oh, there's such nice people out there. Now I have an injury. Now I have to go into... No, I injured my knee. I don't even know how. This is terrible. It's the stress, I think, of my life. Comes out in different ways. What could have been a stroke or a heart attack, so it came out in the knee. God's actually done me a favor. I got to go to the orthopedist next Friday the 13th. That's a good one. The first appointment is Friday the 13th. You want to hear how lucky I really am? I've not had any surgery at my age. I go to a doctor. They look at the chart. Which medications are you on? And I say none. They look at me. What? Did you say that? Yeah, no medications. Don't take any. I take mega doses of vitamins, and I drink my fair share of alcohol. You know, and that's a ride my bicycle. Well, okay. So I've had no surgery. I had my tonsils out when I was 5. That's the only surgery I've had. Most guys my age, they've been, you know, opened up like a Purdue chicken. parts taken out, parts put in. So I've been very fortunate, but now I'm starting to see, like a beautiful old ship, I think I'm starting to lose parts. It's funny, I'm having my boat hauled out Monday where we have to, you know, do a bottom job on it, and we have to fix a few little things here, and that's what boats are. Every year or so, you have to haul them out. Well, I'm going in for a haul out next Friday. No, I don't know. How does a knee go out on you? I don't remember hurting it. How do you hurt a knee? Maybe from the bicycle or something? I don't know. Parts just wear out, I suppose. But it's an early warning sign. It's a distant early warning sign. Happens to young guys, 30, that hurt a leg. It's nothing. So anyway, here we are. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Pelosi says Congress is a mockery. Obama says the Supreme Court is a group of unelected people. You know what's going on. I'll be back.
Savage.
We got to do something about these Asians coming in, open up business, these little dirty shops. And they ought to go. I just say that right now. You know, but we need African-American business people to be able to take their places, too.
That's D.C. Mayor, former Marion Barry. We've got to do something about these Asians coming in and opening up businesses and dirty shops. They ought to go. I'm going to say that right now. But we need African-American business people to be able to take their places, too. I don't know why President Obama hasn't come out and said that that's reprehensible. I don't know why he hasn't come out and said this is a shock and there should be no harm inflicted upon Asian-American people. I wouldn't know. I mean, he did intervene in the case in Florida, basically making believe it was a racial profiling case. This is clearly a racial profiling case. Here's a black mayor attacking Asian people, verbally, that is. Now, of course, verbal attacks, as you well know, are a crime. Did you know that a verbal assault? I mean, every day we hear about bullying, every day bullying. If you don't like someone already, they say you're bullying them. So it's not, I'm bullying you. They've turned it into an illness and a crime already, bullying, if you don't like somebody. Everything's a little trick in the word department. But this is a man who's basically bullying the whole Asian community in Washington, D.C. So what can I do about it? We live in a time where the lowest common denominator has ascended to the highest possible places. Let me repeat that in case you missed it so you can write it down and send it to the FCC. We live in a time where the lowest common denominator has ascended to the highest places. Did I choose my words correctly, or does that offend you in some way? Okay, let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. I'm talking here. How would you like to be Dustin Hoffman with a canceled series with luck? All those broken legs on the horses. They killed all those horses. Now to cancel luck on HBO. Imagine, does he suffer? You think he's humiliated? He made a lot of money from it. You know, those guys, they make money, win, lose, or draw. They get a pay or play job. It doesn't matter how many seasons. He had a dying career in the movies. The last good movie he did was he played a woman in Tootsie, right? I liked him best in, what was that movie? Where I'm Walking Here, Midnight Cowboy. Who was the guy who played the cowboy that like beat up the old man in the room? John Voight, right? Played cowboy. But Dustin Hoffman was really great in that movie. I happen to love 70s-era movies. The film stock was real. It's not, you know, they didn't use digital. It was real like Kodachrome. It has a depth to it. My favorite genre is 70s gangster movies set in New York. Because all the cars are American cars. It's before the invasion of the junk from Japan. Remember? You look at 70s movies, look at what happened to your country in your lifetime. All because of corrupt politicians. Corrupt politicians permitted this to happen. Now you say, oh, well, the cars were no good. I would argue they were quite good. Yes, the Japanese cars were excellent as well. But if you had a sane nation that wasn't filled with easily purchased congressmen who were bought out by the Japanese auto manufacturers and the Japanese electronics manufacturers who destroyed our domestic electronics industry, we'd have a different nation today. But I saw it happening. What could I do about it? I was a mere humble nutrition lecturer at the time. What could I do about it? Like today, what could I do about anything? But you think because I write best-selling books and have a radio show, I have no impact. I don't exist. I live in the Soviet America already. See, in the ex-Soviet Union, they didn't necessarily have you whacked. What they did was they stopped talking about you. They made believe you didn't exist. If you were an intellectual in the Soviet Union under Stalin, if you weren't a clear and present threat to their survival, they just ignored you. They wouldn't let the newspapers write about you. Your name was unmentioned. No mention of any of the names. Solzhenitsyn himself was unnamed in the Soviet Union. Then if you really caused trouble, they put you in the re-education camps along the lines of what Janet Napolitano would like to put you in if you don't go along with the teleprompter and the cattle prod programs. So already we're living in the, I say, you know, it's a kind of a mockery in a way, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. We're already 50% there. We're living in a pre-Soviet state. All of the elements are in place for it. All of the elements are in place. What do you think? It's going to happen overnight? It's been happening by gradualism. Just every time you get in an airplane, you're already living in a dictatorship. You give up your American rights because a few Muslims crashed planes into the World Trade Center. You have basically stripped yourself bare and said to those degenerates in the TSA, do what you want to me, my daughter, my grandmother, and my son, because I'm not a man. You can prod us, you can poke us, you can scream at us, you can throw coffee in our face, but we're nothing. Because a few Muslims crashed some planes into the World Trade Center, you've given up your dignity and your rights. So if you say, oh, we're going to stop the Soviet, you're living in the Soviet states. You give up all of your rights and freedoms every time you get on an airplane. What's next? Tell me where the freedoms are going to go from, come away from next. What are they going to take away from you next in the name of security? Anti-terrorism, Sieg Heil, Buster. Anti-terrorism, step right up, this way to the boxcars.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's a breaking news story. It's a little dry. It's about news. It just came out minutes ago from Bloomberg News. Egan Jones cuts U.S. rating one step to AA, citing growing debt. Egan Jones Ratings Co. cut the U.S. credit rating one step to AA, the second downgrade in 9 months, and two levels below its highest grade, with a negative outlook citing the nation's increasing debt burden. Listen to this now. U.S. debt has increased to 100% of gross domestic product, while debt climbed 23.6% between 08 and 2010, the credit rating firm said in a statement today. Egan Jones lowered the U.S. grade to AA in the July Treasuries. Have Treasuries gained at 4.6%, blah, blah, blah. The downgrade was based on the increasing debt load coupled with the fact that there has been no tangible progress in addressing the country's growing debt-to-GDP ratio. Obama has now raised the U.S. debt to 100% of gross domestic product. We are on par with Greece, Ireland, Italy, and Portugal. He has turned this into a third world, third-rate nation, which is why we're in turmoil in this country. But, you know, you don't know it. You know, I don't know it either, right? You go out, you don't see it. Do you see it or not? Do you actually see it or not? I mean, I go out, the restaurants are full, the credit cards are flying. Hey, give me that wine, I'll have another wine. Give me the veal parmesan, give me the doré, blah, blah, blah. People are living like there's no tomorrow, like he saved America. What are they living on? On what are the people living in this country? Where is the money coming from? Well, All you got to do is look at Timothy Geithner, who can't pay his own mortgage, and Ben Bernanke, the most dangerous man in the history of America, who are basically printing money the way they printed money in the Weimar Republic. And you'll understand why people think there's no problem in time for the election. These are all facts, people. These are not made up. These are not, it's not hyperbole. These are facts that I'm giving you. The show will come to an end tonight. The light will still be out here because of the Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Thank God for the geniuses who figured it out. So there's light by the time I get off the air on the West Coast this time of year. And then I have all of that light to deal with. Long day's journey into night for a man like me. I don't know what to do with myself from 6 o'clock until the next day at 3 when the show starts on the West Coast. 21 hours a day are unknown. It's an unknown. It's an unknown for me. 3 hours a day, I know exactly what I'm doing. The other 21, it's very hard to figure out. It's a nightmare. I turn the television on in the morning, and I start to want to break things. I can't tell you what it does to me. You know what to expect from the midstream media. You know who they are. You know that they sold out a long time ago. You know Fox News changed about 3 years ago to become the CNN of 5 years ago, and that CNN became the Crescent News Network when I said it did about 4 years ago. So when I get up in the morning and I'm sitting in my bathrobe and flannel pajamas and I have my first cup of coffee and I turn the TV on and my dog is sitting next to me and I sip at the coffee and I click the cables on, when I see the creatures that they have on MSNBC, I start to get angry. I get almost violently angry that my country permits such... The word I'm seeking is sophomoric, facile individuals to have a show on television. It's hard for me to believe they get away with it. And I start to fume and curse. And I said to myself, you know, if I put a webcam in my kitchen, if I just did a webcam in my kitchen in the morning for half an hour, it would be one of the most highly rated web TV shows you could ever imagine. Just me talking, picture the camera, me in a chair, side shot, me and Teddy, bathrobe, the coffee, and the TV and the screen. And me yelling at the screen, talking to the dog, saying, look what she said. Look what that psychotic just said. Who does she think she is? Do you ever curse the television? Do you ever get so angry you curse Wolf Blitzer? And you don't understand how his mother could have raised such a creature as he, who would turn on his own people in his own time. You want to hear it. You don't want to know about it. It's a horrible story, but it's worth telling because on a minor scale, it's what's going on in this country today amongst all races and all religions. During the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were killed by the Nazis, terrible things occurred to other people as well. 9 million non-Jews were killed by Hitler as well. Let's not forget it. That's an important fact. But let's focus for a moment on Hitler's obsession with the race he hated the most. Now, when he occupied Poland, when the Nazis occupied Poland, they didn't simply go out and say, Jew, come out and round them up. It didn't happen that way. It was done in a sequential, orderly manner. And it took time. It was carefully planned because Germans are big planners. So they went into the communities where Jewish people lived, and they went to the lawyers mainly. You don't know this, do you? The lawyers were made into the Judenrats. They were the ringleaders. They were told to give the Nazis the names and the possessions of all the Jews in that community. It's almost heartbreaking for me to even say it. And they did so. The lawyers went from door to door, and they got down the names of the Jewish families. Remember, they were Jews, the Judenrat. And then they wrote down what their possessions were, how much this they had, how much that, furniture, possession. And they turned it over to the Nazi in charge of that district, and that went up to Central Command in Chicago, I mean in Berlin. And what happened from there, of course, is horrible history, and I don't have to relive it for you. You know what happened. That made it possible and quite easy for the Germans to round up the Jews, deport them to the concentration camps, use them or kill them, and to take all of their possessions and steal the possessions. So what I'm saying to you, there were collaborators within the Jewish communities themselves who greased the skids for the Nazis. Instead of standing up to the Nazis and shooting them in the face, they said, Yavol, I will go along with you and I will live a day longer myself. That's the sad truth of the Judenrat. Now let's speed the camera forward. What am I getting at with that story? Well, we're certainly not living in that time now, don't get me wrong. I'm not implying we are. But I'm implying on a minor scale something else. I am telling you that we have people in all of our communities, who are greasing the skids for the diminution of America, the dissolution of America, and the rolling of America into just another nation amongst many. More and worse than that, the destruction of America. Who are they? Who are these people? Who's done it to us? Who does it to us on a daily basis? The answer is in the media. The media figures today who go along with the individuals who want to destroy this country, and make no mistake about it, destroy this country they are doing. Now, are all of us paranoid? Are the tens of millions of us who see the world the way I do, are we paranoid? Are we mentally ill because we see what's going on? Well, that's what they would have you believe. Do you know that they're now stealing my concept, liberalism is a mental disorder, and they're starting to publish little fake academic articles the way the Soviets did, claiming that conservatism is a mental disorder. That's how good my ideas are. They're stealing them and twisting them around. They're using the Alinsky method of twisting the truth and attacking you, which is why I say to you, it's do or die, it's now or never. Trickle-down tyranny is not a joke. End of story. It's not a joke. It's real. It's not just hype. It's real. Now, where's the woman who said that the relatives think she's nuts? Pittsburgh, PA, Holly, thank you for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. My liberal relatives think I'm paranoid, and here's why. I went to visit them a few months ago, and I told them about Solyndra and Operation Fast and Furious. And they said, why do you know this? And we don't. And I said, well, because I listen to certain things on the radio. And I mentioned my two most favorite radio shows. The first is yours, and the second is Quinn and Rose, which is out of Pittsburgh in the morning.
Right.
And they said, they actually looked at each other, rolled their eyes, and said, now she's paranoid.
So in other words, even though it's factually true that Obama's friends and Solyndra raped us for $500 million, and even though Eric Holder and his friends at Justice supervised the shipment of machine guns to Mexico, even those are factually true, being investigated by the FBI, your relatives, because they haven't read it in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette or the Pittsburgh Tribune, they don't believe it's true. Is that right?
Well, they didn't read it in those newspapers because they live 3 hours from here in a smaller community. But they just don't believe me when I tell them facts. They don't believe me. They think I'm making things up or I'm exaggerating, whatever.
Well, look, here's the thing. I'll tell you the truth. Here's the thing. Certain people you can't talk with. You can't even talk with them, so don't even waste your time. You know, stick to family issues, you know, pleasantries, because you're not going to get anywhere. When I was 16 years old, I wrote the following sentence in my journal. I'll never forget it. I have forgotten it already. It went along the lines like this. Those who know will always know. Those who don't will never. I wrote that when I was 16 years old. Those who know will always know. Those who don't will never. So you can't educate certain people. They're either intellectually stilted or they never had the capacity to learn or understand. Their minds are made up. They're brainwashed. So don't hurt yourself with it. I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, but it's for your own edification. I'd highly recommend you do not bring it to their house. They're liable to call the local estate troopers.
Oh, no. I plan to take it to my sister. I'm still going to buy your book because I want to contribute to your book becoming number one. And thank you so much for the copy. I'll keep your copy you send me for myself.
All right, sweetheart. That's very, very kind of you. Yes, and that's an important point that the lady just raised. I was told that the book has sold sufficient to be in the top three for Tuesday's listing on the New York Times bestseller list. If you can help make it number one, you'll send a statement that will shock the geopolitical structure in the world. That's right. Now, I want you to envision what happens if you buy another 5,000 copies between now and I think it's Friday or Saturday. There's only a day or two left. What happens is the New York Times has to publish the author, Michael Savage, title, Trickle Down Tyranny. Then they do a one-liner. The author believes Obama wants to create the socialist states of America. Now, think about what that will do to the landscape of snot noses on the other side of the aisle who believe they have all the truths and that we the people are stupid and bear no witness to the truth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's a story that's alarming. A prosecutor is saying that a Marine sold Obama stickers and they're throwing him out of the military. Now, I created the phrase Obama. I've seen bumper stickers with it. I don't really care. It's a great idea. You know, I'm like Lao Tzu, let people do what they want. I don't need the credit for it as long as they use my ideas. But look what happened to this poor guy. Gary Stein has been in the Marines 8 years. Good for him. Go, Gary. You wouldn't have been a Judenrat. Sergeant Gary Stein, age 26, is facing dismissal from the military for posting Facebook images of President Barack Obama's face superimposed on a jackass and for selling Obama bumper stickers online. So they're trying to throw him out of the military. Well, you're not going to believe what follows, okay? They're trying to throw this 8-year Marine out of the military. They took away his security clearance, and they say that he has no future in the Marine Corps because he can't do his job. But he's being backed by lawyers and two congressmen, including a former Marine himself, Congressman Duncan Hunter, and Daryl Issa, two fabulous members of Congress, unlike Nancy Pelosi, who is a shame unto itself that she was ever in Congress. So they're backing this guy, along with, ready for this, the ACLU. His lawyers and the ACLU contend his views are protected by the First Amendment. Now, the ACLU didn't come to my defense, but that's okay. I'm a big boy. You did. So here is a guy. The ACLU joins conservative congressmen and says he didn't do anything wrong. The ACLU writes, the military may be different from the civilian world, but it's not exempt from the First Amendment. Sergeant Stein didn't say anything for which the Marine Corps has any right to punish him. Now, of course, the ACLU is taking this case on for their own agenda. That's understandable. But sometimes politics makes strange bedfellows, right? What do you think about this? I'll tell you what I think about it. I'll tell you what I think about the military throwing out a Marine who represents the views of the majority of Marines about Obama. I'll tell you what I think about it. I'll tell you exactly what I think about it. I'll turn to the back of trickle-down tyranny. And again, I'll show you that I'm a prophet and prescient. Where I say the military is used as a pawn. While Obama makes a show of using proud Navy SEALs as a publicity stunt, the overall strength of the military has been decimated. Do you think throwing a man like this out of the Marines makes the Marines prouder and stronger or weaker? Tell me what you think. It makes them weaker, which is exactly what Obama wants to do. He wants to cull the herd of those with the guts to stand up to a tyrant, comma, like himself, period. My book is dedicated. You know what it's dedicated to? I'll read it to you. The book is dedicated to those who gave their lives to secure the freedom to write and read as we please. That would be every service member, active or dead, who fought in any war and any relative thereof. That's who it's dedicated to. So when you look at the tyranny of the Egghead Wars on page 145, and I'm not going to read it to you. I told you it's not good radio to read from a book unless it's in short pieces or unless it's very pertinent to the politics of the discussion of the day, which it is right now, it's a very important fact of reality that the wars that we are engaged in are egghead wars. You want to hear another news story? Hillary Clinton and Obama just decided to give the Muslim Brotherhood $1.5 billion. That's right, you heard me correctly. Even though the Islamists have taken over Egypt, as I predicted and feared they would do, both on this radio show and in my book, the government under Obama, who everyone is starting to wonder if they're sane or working for the other team, has just said we're giving the Islamists $1.5 billion because it's good to talk to them. Can you believe what I just said to you? Well, you better believe it. Because somebody is making decisions that make no sense to the average American. Right? When I was a kid in the 1950s and early 60s, I would often help my father out in his antique store, which I've told you about. It was a long ride in from Queens, but I went along with my father because it was like a passport to a different world where I saw all types of strange characters. Everyone, rich or poor, wore a suit and a hat. I met lawyers and doctors, artists and sailors, stock traders and European art collectors. Once I even met someone from the freak show at the Ringling Brothers Circus. But as far as I know, I never met an Ivy League professor. That's the opening to Tyranny of the Egghead Wars. And now we understand what the eggheads in the military have done to our troops. If somebody stands up to Sir Obama, if somebody dares express their First Amendment rights, with anything the dictator does, they throw them out of the military. That's called a purge. Stalin did the same thing.
Savage.
So we just talked about a U.S. Marine, Stein, who 8 years in the Marines, is being thrown out because he sold an Obama stickers. And he posted Facebook images of President Obama's face superimposed on a jackass. So they threw him out. And he's being defended by two congressmen and the ACLU. Now, I want to go to a point that many Marines know to be true, which is this. The military has, in fact, had a policy since the Civil War limiting the free speech of service members, including criticizing the commander-in-chief. Pentagon directives say that military personnel in uniform cannot sponsor a political club, they cannot participate in any TV or radio program or group discussion that advocates for or against a political party, a candidate, or a cause, or speak at any event promoting a political movement. That's the Pentagon, right? You're wrong. I will remind you that we have seen soldier after soldier on CNN and other channels attacking Beowulf. What did you say they attacked? You remember when the Marines were accused of peeing on the corpses? You had stooge Judenrat Marines coming up and saying that they should be crucified for doing it? Well, wasn't that advocating for a cause? Why weren't the Marine who spoke on CNN against fellow Marines thrown out? Or what about gay Marines who've come out and said that, oh, they're members of a gay club. They're allowed to join a gay club, but they can't speak out against what they consider to be a wrong policy? Or a wrong position of a politician? Don't you see that this is all double talk? It's all double talk. It's New World Order speak. Yeah, so the Pentagon can say that military personnel can't do this or that, but they don't prosecute those who do this or that when it's on the side of liberalism. But if you get a true member of the service who speaks out, suddenly they're crucified. That's what I mean when I say use... when I tell you how to win in the battles. The number one thing I teach you in trickle-down tyranny, there's only one chapter on how to do it, and that's how to attack them before they attack you. That's the first rule you're going to learn in order to survive in your own life. It'll help you in your own life, by the way. If you sit like a patsy waiting to be attacked by the liberals, you're lost already. If they throw the first blow, you're finished. They're expert at the sumo match, and they're going to knock you down on your behind every time unless you attack them first. Now, when I say attack them, I'm not Marion Barry. I am talking about intellectually, I'm talking about verbally, but I have to explain it in the world in which we live. So I do have a chapter in Trickle Down Tyranny on, in fact, the reviewer touched on it. I don't want to read it to you. I can't find it, frankly. There's too many papers right now. I can't wait for dinner. I have a headache. Chinese, Italian, Thai, or Italian. I don't know what I'm going to have. Here it is. I found it. I think it's at meatballs and spaghetti night. Oh, allergy season! I can't eat fish. One more fish, I'm gonna grow gills if I eat one more fish. I had enough omega-3 fatty acids anyway. Oh, I crave a meatball. That's all I want. A big fat meatball and spaghetti with a glass of beer. That's all I want. The Savage Weight Gain Diet. So, in the review today, Savage New Territory, Trickle Down Tyranny, and American Thinker, run by my good friend Thomas Lifson, there's a great review. I put it on my website, right? And they go into the indictment of Obama, his crony capitalist enablers, and the cadre of and confuse the leftists that's still clinging to an empty promise of hope and change. Savage shows how Barack Obama's created. Okay, so I'm not going to read it, but it's very good writing here, and the review is very good. So he goes to one chapter. The guy does a chapter by chapter in the review. It's really well done. And I want to go down to it, please. Ah, here it is. Chapter 5 deals with the practical responses from the right to leftist radicalism or community organizing, specifically to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. This is the only how-to chapter, and it is a good one. After dissecting Alinsky's influence in ideology, Dr. Savage lists 6 rules for beating radicals, pages 120 to 122. In keeping with the savage extremism discussed in Chapter 3, not my extremism, theirs, Rule 5 is of particular interest, and I suggest a unique insight. Listen to what I wrote. Attack Democrats before they attack you. Democrats, like our president, have no core principles except the lust for power. Following Alinsky, they say, quote, make the enemy live up to his or her own book of rules, unquote. Because those on the left are unprincipled but will nonetheless attack you, if you violate one of your principles, it is important to call them out based on your principles and demand that they act in a principled manner. You see, I mean, it requires brains and thinking. This is not for the average person. Maybe that's why the book is going over the heads of so many people. Chapter 6 digs deeper into the background of Obama's corporate cronies. Focusing on kickbacks and corruption, it explores the extraordinary tension between Obama's officially appointed cabinet and his illegally appointed czars. There are over 40 czars and counting. Among other things, Savage shows that the salaries of many of these public employees are not available to the taxpayer who pay their wages. We don't even know what he's paying these czars. You hear me? Okay, and then there's more, so I'll do a little bit at a time. I can't do it all at once. But it's a very well-written review by Larry Anderson, who is a philosopher, a writer, and a senior editor for American Thinker. Larry Anderson also is the author of the novel The Order of the Beloved and the memoir Underground. So I never met Larry, but it was assigned by Thomas Lifson to him, and I really appreciate it. Because, you know, every once in a while, you can't believe that there are people out here amongst us Neanderthalic knuckle draggers who have real degrees and actually read and write. It's hard to believe we're actually educated people. Some even went to Harvard, if you can believe it. Guys like me went to Berkeley and got their PhD. But, you know, we're not all up to the level of Jay Carney or Timothy Geithner. Some of us even pay our own mortgages. Some of us are even honest. It's hard to believe. Let's go to the callers. John in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, what a book, an incredible book. It's funny you should mention attack Democrats before they attack you, because I told the gentleman who screened my call, I stopped and I keep reading that paragraph over and over again. It really is an amazing book. Just when I thought you couldn't do a better book than the previous one, you are really a genius and an amazing human being, my friend.
Attack Democrats before they attack you.
Sir.
Because Democrats have no core principles except the lust for power. So I teach you how to overturn the Alinsky rules, and I teach you what basically how to attack them. And you mean verbally, of course. And remember, I'm not one of the reverends who are basically implying that you should go out and kill somebody in the name of a justice, you know. They want a little fire down there in order to make certain that their ratings go up. They get a little more government grift. So, look, David, John, I'm sorry, these are very bad times. These are very bad times. You're living through very dangerous times. It's very bad white water. Are you a political activist in any way, John, or an ordinary citizen who's politically acute?
I'm politically acute. I mean, I started listening to your show. I used to be a diehard baseball fan, Dr. Savage. I came into your show about 5 years ago. I don't watch baseball anymore. Today's opening day. Let me tell you something. I would rather meet you than any baseball player or athlete out there. I'd rather have a 10-minute conversation with you than with any of these overpaid phonies.
Well, ask Mayor Bloomberg to give me a ticker tape parade down the Broadway. I'll be glad to comply.
Oh, that would be I would campaign for that in a second.
That's really going to happen. That's like San Francisco, where I can hardly walk around without rotating my head, filled with such haters like you can't believe. If you don't get killed by accident by a bicyclist going the wrong way on a street who's aiming for a passenger, for a pedestrian to kill in San Francisco, you're liable to get whacked by one of the provincial tolerance police out here. Well, I'm reading the screen wrong. I'm going blind already. John in New York, I really do appreciate it. Let me talk about baseball for 1 minute. I have nothing against baseball. I just feel that I went through it when I was 11. Between the ages of 7 and 11, I was an avid baseball fan, and then there was nothing in it of any interest to me. It's perhaps the slowest game in the history of mankind. I don't know how anybody could watch it. I can see playing it, all right? Playing it is one. How can you sit for hours and watch this? I don't even understand how you can watch it. Isn't the mind too active for that? It's like an 1890s game. All right, look, to each his own. I know some people are baseball fans. I'm trying to justify it. I think it's absurd for a grown man to get that involved in a sport that he doesn't even play. Truthfully, after the show yesterday in San Francisco, I walked around the downtown, let's put it that way. I don't want to be too specific. San Francisco. Game was over. The show was over. Turned off the mic. Put on the hat. Pulled up the collar. Pulled down the brim. Okay. Walked down. Walked around. Left the studio. The first thing I saw were the green parrots of Telegraph Hill chirping like mad. And I saw six people with telephoto lenses taking the pictures of these amazing birds feeding on the flowers of a blooming cherry tree. It was one of the most beautiful sights I had seen all year. It was stunning. And of the six people taking the pictures, four of them were Asian men. It was beautiful to see the joy in the men's faces. as they took the pictures of these little birds, these green parrots, just feeding on the flowers. It was so beautiful. I don't even know how to describe it. There's no words for it. I'm trying to paint the picture for you. I stood there in awe of nature and of the kind men on the earth, the kind and gentle men on the earth, as they took pictures of the birds. And look what the bird, what did the bird want from our world? All the bird wanted was a flower petal. And the flower petals were blowing in the wind and laying on the ground. And this is a beautiful story unto itself, the green parrots at Telegraph Hill. Allegedly, they began with one escaped pair 20 years ago. And now they've bred into the hundreds and hundreds. It was a great movie done on it in a documentary and how the birds discriminate against each other. You won't believe, you think it's in mankind alone, huh? You will never eliminate discrimination between one man and another because it exists in the animal kingdom and we're nothing more than animals anyway. But that's a whole separate story that has to be discussed. I didn't say hurt anybody, but just let's be real. Here's the green parrots of Telegraph Hill, most of them descended from a group that came, I believe, from the forests of Argentina. But there's a few birds that have a slightly different marking that you wouldn't notice unless you were an ornithologist or extremely detailed in your analysis. Let's say the color is a slightly different green with a red in it instead of an orange. Those birds are ostracized by the flock. They're not allowed to be in the same tree, and they hang out by themselves. They're all alone. Would you believe it? Maybe they can be arrested by Obama for bullying the birds with the orange stripe. Maybe Eric Holder can seek a Justice Department investigation for some kind of bullying. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they can make the other birds paint their stripes from orange to yellow in order to make the birds that have a yellow stripe feel less picked upon and end the bullying amongst the green parrots. So after I see the parrots, I walk across the Embarcadero in San Francisco by the ferry building. I love going to that place. They're like a Pike Street market. I buy a bread there, an onion bread, a big onion slab. They bake it in the back. I go there sometimes just to smell the bread, and it brings back some phenomenal feelings. Now, you got vandals on skateboards defacing city monuments, defacing the sidewalks. They're stoners who should be rounded up and locked up for what they're doing. The police look the other way. I don't blame the police. It's vandalism. Skating up and down as people are trying to go to a commuter ferry, trying to kill people on their skateboards, these rat stoners. They should be rounded up and thrown into the brig for what they're doing and made to clean the city up. Anyway, they're rolling. Then you got the bicyclists. Last week, two people were knocked off and almost killed in the city by these out-of-control maniacs on bicycles. They race down and try to hit people. Again, the police do nothing because the Bicycle Coalition owns the city. Again, I'm a bicyclist, but I'm telling you what's going on. Then I go into the marketplace and I buy my onion bread. I wait online and I do this, I do that. I buy some organic grapes. I paid $8 for some grapes. They were the biggest, most delicious grapes I ever ate in my life. I'm still eating them. I love them. I'm a red grape lover. Then I buy some pears. And to show you how my mind works, how theatrical it is, I was wearing a long coat because it was cold and a hat, windy and sunny and beautiful. I'm buying the pears in a paper bag. Like a flashback, Don Corleone in The Godfather as he walks out with the pears and gets shot, and his son, you know, couldn't pretend. That scene, I said, come on, you watched too many movies. At that point, I know that I needed a couple of martinis, which I did not imbibe because it's allergy season and I had to drive home. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, I just want to continue on the green parrots of Telegraph Hill for a minute, where I said that birds who are green with a little red stripe discriminate against birds that are green with a little yellow stripe because they're from a different country. They're from like Argentina or Bolivia, and they ostracize them. So I was thinking this is an opportunity for the Obama administration to create a spray can ready job along the lines of a shovel ready job. He could hire thousands of people in San Francisco and Pelosi's backyard and give them spray cans and paint all of the green parrots blue. Now, there'd be an advantage to that. It could be a new WPA, a Works Parrot Administration, or We Paint Parrots. It could be the acronym for We Paint Parrots, and Obama could have thousands of workers, And they could spray paint all of the green parrots of Telegraph Hill a light blue to match the sky. Now, there'd be advantages to this if you think I'm being facetious. One, it would eliminate discrimination amongst parrots. Two, you've got job creation. Three, it eliminates bullying of the colorblind. Because what if you have people in San Francisco say they can't distinguish between the stripes on the bird and they feel uncomfortable whenever they view these birds flying by? And it makes them feel inadequate and they feel bullied by the parrots. You see, spray painting birds is not such a bad idea. And that's why I say we should consider a new WPAA works parrot administration. So if you think that we joke around during breaks here in the Savage Nation, you are right. It's the only thing we got left between us is a little laugh now and again, because these are the last great days of freedom of speech in the United States of America. And let me tell you something. I and Beowulf and Doug and the call screener, whose name I forgot again. Neil, I'm sorry. We joke around because we recognize... No, we recognize that we're having a good time here behind the scenes. You know why? Because we like to. We like to. This is how radio used to be in the beginning. Guys would laugh between the breaks, and we'd tell each other jokes. We develop little bits all on the fly, on the moment. And we've been doing it all day today because we realize these are the late, great days of free speech in America. One way or the other, whether it's coming down from the government or it's pressure by the government upon the broadcast industry itself is being felt between the lines. I am telling you, things are changing so rapidly you won't even know what hit you by the time it happens. And that tsunami that is coming, some people will not survive it at all. Not only commercially, they're not going to survive it emotionally. But lucky for me in a way, I have faced an awful lot of it for so many years now that I'm immune. In many ways, I'm really immune to it, in the sense that I know what it's like to lose an affiliate. I know what it's like to lose an advertiser. I know what it's like to gain an advertiser and regain affiliates. There are those who have been so immune to this, they don't know what it's like to live through this. And they think that things don't change and they're on top and they're going to stay on top. Never, never. The essence of life is change. And it's not always good and it's not always pleasant. But you know all of this, right? Talk radio has now been reduced to hucksters with guitars who are strumming their way to the bottom. Hucksters with guitars who are strumming their way to the bottom, and that's all you hear on the airwaves. You'll know that somewhere out there, old Savage has the pith helmet on and he's collecting plants again. And it's a far, 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 far better place that he has gone than he has ever been. Not a bad speech. Kennewick, Washington. Matthew, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Matthew?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little nervous, but I've listened to you for 8 years, and I wanted to tell you about how my family, my wife and I have all listened, but my kids also have listened to you.
Thank you.
They don't play the video games, that sort of thing. They listen to you, Dr. Savage, every day. We've listened for years, and I honestly believe it's helped them out. But one of your last callers reminded me of a time I got kicked out of someone's home because of you, because I listened to your show.
Really? They actually threw you out saying, how dare you listen to Michael Savage? Well, were they very tolerant and liberal?
Well, I watched a physical reaction take place. And the first thing that came to mind was your words, liberalism is a mental disorder. We had been sitting there. I went over with a friend.
But why would they hate you if you disagree with them? I thought that they're tolerant and liberal. Look, we know the answer because liberalism is a mental disorder. But Matthew, I am sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. For your neighborly pleasures. Bring it to that neighbor in particular and watch how tolerant and liberal he really is. In fact, folks, that's the best thing you could do. You want to see who your friends really are? Bring him the book and put it down on the coffee table or invite him over for a Savage discussion. Invite him over for a literary discussion. Have a book reading. Just see how liberal and tolerant. See if they can support their arguments. Let's put it that way. See if they can support their arguments and argue with you now that you have the facts in front of you. It's as simple as that. And then you'll find out you have no friends.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today is Obama's threats against the Supreme Court and the Republican Party, basically warning him against attacking the Supreme Court. It's a huge story that's going to be of no interest to the average moron. Mitch McConnell, Republican, said Obama crossed a dangerous line and back off. He's 100% right. The Attorney General has supported the president's insult to the Supreme Court in an oblique way, pretending that he didn't. I'll read you the letter in a minute. The idiot who speaks for him, the spokesmouth Carney, who belongs in a Carney vull, said the president was not clearly understood by some people because he is a law professor. Can you believe this? Here's Obama's spokesmouth, the Carney Barker, trying to play off Obama's threat to the Supreme Court as if it were nothing.
The precedent we're talking about here, as I've made clear, I mean, you can say that they make this argument about precedent based on something the president didn't say or mean, or we can talk about...
But to be clear, he didn't specify what you're specifying now.
He did yesterday.
Yesterday, but in his original comments, he did not draw out that caveat. He just said the whole thing would be unprecedented.
That's not what he said, Ed. That's not certainly what he meant. And it was clear to most folks who observe this and understand what is at issue here.
It's unbelievable the world we're living in under this divisive tyrant. And here's the press, Nora O'Donskill, actually standing up to Carney.
Hey, that's not true. The president said on Monday that it would be an unprecedented, extraordinary step of overturning a law that was passed by a strong majority of a Democratic elected Congress. It took him yesterday to talk about the Commerce Clause and on an economic
issue. Nora,
there are two instances in the past 80 years where the president, where the Supreme Court has overturned stuff. It's not evident to everybody.
Well, it may not be evident to you. It is clear that the president was talking about matters like this that involve the Commerce Clause, that involve Congress passing legislation to deal with issues of national economic importance, national economic matters like health insurance, which is clearly a national economic issue.
But I tell you, I have the letter from Eric Holder, who's very difficult to comprehend in many ways, Fast and Furious, Black Panthers, shall I say more? Who is Eric Holder? Who does he really report to? Well, I don't know. Who does he really work for? He works for Obama. He's the Attorney General, just as one Kennedy worked for another Kennedy. So Holder responds to the judges who took umbrage with Obama's unprecedented attack on the Supreme Court, and he writes this letter, Dear Judge Smith, and he said, the court indicated that its inquiry was prompted by recent statements of the president. And then he says, blah, blah, blah. I won't bore you with the legalese. But he said, the department has not in this litigation or in any other litigation of which I'm aware ever asked this or any other court to reconsider a limit long established precedent concerning judicial review of the constitutionality of a federal legislation. But that's not where it ends. If it ended there, you'd say that Eric Holder understood the danger that Big Brother has put us in. But he goes on and he tries to say that the Supreme Court has explained that a power of review may only be exercised in appropriate cases. And then he says acts of Congress are presumptively constitutional. Did you hear this? Then he says, while duly recognizing the court's authority to engage in judicial review, we assume that acts of Congress are presumptively constitutional. Again. So he parsed his words again. And then he ends, Eric Holder does, by saying, the president's remarks were fully consistent with the principles described herein. In other words, Eric Holder made a disgrace of himself. And that's what you'd expect. And here's Eric Holder holding on for Obama.
I think that, you know, what the president said a couple of days ago was appropriate. He indicated that We obviously respect decisions that that courts make under our system of government. And since Marbury versus Madison, I guess back in 1803, courts have the final say on the constitutionality of statutes.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com. What else is in the news? Well, Newt files for bankruptcy. The Newt Group files for bankruptcy. What does that mean? Who knows? Marion Barry, that distinguished former mayor of Washington, D.C., said we've got to do something about these Asians coming in to Washington, D.C. I don't see any mobs of Asians demanding justice. No, I'm not making this up. Did you hear this? Here. Jeez. Where is it? Former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry says we've got to do something about these Asians coming in and opening up businesses and dirty shops.
Horrible.
You ought to go. I'm going to say that right now, but we need African-American business people to be able to take their places, too. So we haven't yet seen any beatings as a result. The mobs haven't been called out to go beat up Asians yet because I think Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are busy in Florida. Isn't that why? Or... Yeah. But you don't know. I mean, you know, they're all calling for riots now.
We got to do something about these Asians coming in, open up business, these little dirty shops. They ought to go. I just say that right now. You know, but we need African-American business people to be able to take their places, too.
Jesse I. Jackson is calling on blacks to wear hoodies to polling places. You know what? I think I'm going to wear a hoodie to a polling place, see if I can get in. I think everyone listening to the Savage Nation should not only wear a hoodie, but they should bring trickle-down tyranny with them and see what happens then. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what news is up on the big board. Oh, great review from Larry Anderson. Savage breaks new territory in trickle-down tyranny. Even Obama's law professor flunked him. And he's one of the most liberal law professors there is, Lawrence Tribe. I think he calls himself Tribe or Tribe at Harvard. And even he said that Obama's saying that unelected judges shouldn't overrule Congress. His law profs get flunked them, basically. Read the article for yourself. It's from the Post. Michael Savage's sobering wake-up call, Trickle-Down Tyranny released. Examiner.com, great review. Agency out of control. The GSA spent $800,000 on a conference. Oh, didn't read about that one? Netanyahu vows response after a rocket is fired from the Sinai into Israel. That's a result of the Islamists taking over Egypt with a little help from the White House. Egypt jails Christian student for insulting Islam in his own Facebook page. This is what Hillary Clinton has wrought. And yet, at the same time, officials from Egypt's throwback Muslim Brotherhood are in the White House. The enemy at the gates, barbarian at the gates. Anything come to mind, or is it do or die for America? Is it do or die for America? We had the first lady wearing spandex in San Francisco, and then she goes to one of the lowest of the low, a member of a group called Code Stink. And Michelle squeezes her Code Stinko's hand and says, we really need you. Keep up the great work. Which side are the Obamas on? The side of America or the other side? Is it really do or die for America? I'll let you decide. By the way, did you hear my show yesterday? Who owns America's voting machines? A Spain-based holding company controls election results in America. It's all at play, my friends. I can only do so much. Trickle-Down Tyranny is the one book you may need to awaken your friends and relatives. There's another article you have to see on michaelsavage.com. My headline is Weak Israel Goes to Pot. It's about medicinal marijuana providers in Israel offering kosher cannabis cookies for Passover.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it. I said, now you understand why Israel's unable to defend itself. They're stoned and they're weak. That's the answer. God is probably turning over in his heavenly abode. If you haven't seen it yet, take a look at my celebration from Saturday night. There's a picture of Teddy and other guests. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
National treasure, a national treasure. I should be invited to the White House because I'd redo the Obama menu for the next dinner that they serve. Believe me, it wouldn't have short ribs on it with honeysuckle pie. Believe me, they wouldn't be serving ice cream for dessert. Invite Michael Savage to the White House. I'll show you what the menu would be. It wouldn't be that. Probably be calamari, calamari appetizer, cold calamari appetizer. Oh, the special eggplant that I eat. The other night I go into the North Beach restaurant. They know already. It's the eggplant with no cheese. Then the calamari. You know what I had for dinner? You won't believe it. I'm going to go back in a minute. It was later at night already. I didn't want to eat. I said, just give me the potatoes and the chard, no butter, and skip the main course. That is, he says to me, Peter says to me, you just want the potatoes and the Swiss chard? Yeah, and I said, skip. I don't need the veal. I don't need the chicken. I don't need the fish. Because most people think that they need a protein, whatever. What do you need it for? I had a big lunch in the Indian buffet that day anyway. It was enough with the tandoori chicken coming out of my ears. So, you know, watch your protein intake. There's only so much your body needs and wants. You don't need that high a protein diet. So at night, I mean, I did the potatoes. I slept like a baby, an agitated baby. I got 2 good hours that night. I don't sleep very good lately. I'm worried about the world. I'm waking up with nightmares about the world. I'm hearing Obama talking in my sleep now. It's awful. I see the first lady lecturing about carrots, that if you don't plant them, you get arrested, while she's hiding a cheeseburger behind a dress. I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy imagery. It's like the Black Panthers come to the house and make sure you have a zucchini garden, and meanwhile they're going out to their bulletproof cars to eat cheeseburgers. It's weird images I'm getting. I don't know. Just can't sleep. It's just freaky. Just freaky, this government. It's such filled with such liars. Look, they're all okay. There's nothing new under the sun. Like my mother said when she was alive, God rest her soul, when Bill Clinton got caught with Monica Lewinsky, she didn't get excited. What she said was, they all do it. I mean, who's they all do it? What, men or presidents? I didn't know what she was talking about. Because she had a very negative view of men to begin with. So to her, a president was just another man. He was a dog. In other words, she wasn't shocked. She was an old-timer about those things. They all do it. I said, what, who's they, men? She didn't answer me. She had a strange way. She wouldn't answer. You got to figure it out for yourself. I don't think she knew herself who she meant. They all justified Clinton's shenanigans. All the feminists, I remember when he got caught, they all said, oh, it's his shenanigans. But if a Republican looks the other way at the woman, right away it's rape, state rape, just to look at them. All right. Any wonder I don't want to do politics? Let's have a breaker for the minute. No break. No, I didn't say go to a break. I want to look at my song sheet now. Let me just go down a list. Kansas City, no. Teenager in Love, no. Tequila by the Champs, no. Eddie, My Love, no. Bebopalula, no. Blueberry Hill, no. I Ran All the Way Home, I Played. Book of Love, I Played. Little Star, I Played. Do You Want to Dance, no. How about Bye Bye Love by the Everly Brothers? Right now on the Savage Nation, we've got the Everly Brothers and Bye Bye Love.
Bye Bye Love. Bye Bye Happiness. Hello Loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, bye-bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness.
See, it's a classic American song. This song cannot be played in Saudi Arabia. It's too American. One day they're liable to pass a law that says you can't play an American song from the Southeast circa 1960 because it's too offensive to the Muslims. All right, let's take some callers. Cut out the, let's get down to work, Mike. I know. Get back to work, Mike. No reminiscing. Get back to the economy. Stick to the basics. It's a talk show, Mike. No variety. Don't vary. Don't go off topic. Now, Mike, stick to what you know best. That's it. Communism. That's all. Taxes. Republicans good. Democrats bad. Stick to the basic theme that the other schmucks do. Don't get sidetracked, Mike. Let's go to Johnny in Biloxi, Mississippi. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Savage, great to talk to you. Hey,
instead of talking about all that crap, how about some stories about when you used to work with your dad?
All right, that's interesting. I'm a New York kid originally. You're from Biloxi, Mississippi. Totally different cultures. And yet here you resonate with the stories of my dad. Tell me which one comes to mind. Like if you were to say, pick one out of a hat that you remember.
I remember something about down in the basement.
You mean cleaning the bronzes with the cyanide solution?
Yeah.
I don't know of another kid who was subjected to that kind of Charles Dickens-like childhood. Do you?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and you know.
Johnny, let me ask you: when you were a kid, did you work with your dad?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, my dad disappeared when I was real small, and I had a stepfather.
So you kind of missed the story of a father and son. Is that really it? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Is that why you asked?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, Johnny, when you listen to my show, what is it that you want to hear? What more of those stories in your own mind? Because what, it reminds you of a thing you missed in your life? Is that it?
Well, you know, it's part of part of hearing your childhood. Yeah, it does bring out something that interests me. But really, I listen to your show because of the intelligence and the intellect that you have about the whole situation in our country.
I understand. I have a good insight to things. I always have. I've been blessed with the ability to see things as they are without a lot of clouds around them. But I do think that at this stage of the day and of the month and of the year, most people have heard most of it at this time of the day. So I'm reluctant to just do hardcore, news at this point, Johnny.
Yeah, well, we all get sick and tired. A lot of us get sick and tired of hearing it, and we'd like to be refreshed with just some...
I understand. It's very hard to come up with new stories unless they're real. So I appreciate that. I mean, I don't want to do an old story about the... one-breasted, man and the delivery to his house in Long Beach in the Godfather house and how shocked I was to see a man with one breast and a half a mustache from Ringling Brothers who bought odd objects as a kid delivering the goods to that house was strange, crazy, made me part of the man I am to see that there are a variety of individuals. So please don't lecture me about diversity. Is falling into turmoil because of the fanatic liberals in the White House. International unrest continues to stretch over the Middle East, the Global East, and encroaches on the West. According to satellite images and reports, North Korea could be ready to launch a rocket by April 12th. What will this do to the world stage? You think it's unserious? Well, let's listen. Joining us to explore these matters is writer and foreign policy expert, not you, but J.D. Gordon. Mr. Gordon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's good to be here.
North Korea is now testing a new satellite and ramping up for a rocket launch. What does this mean for the United States of America?
Well, it's a continued threat from North Korea. North Korea has been playing this game with the United States and South Korea and Japan since the 90s, whereby they come up with a threat in their nuclear program and then with missiles. And in order to back down from it, they demand food aid. So basically what we've been doing since the 90s is we've been propping up this regime for bad behavior, unfortunately.
The lunatic in North Korea is insisting that the satellite is being put into orbit to study their crops and natural resources. You know this is a cover-up of their intention to use nuclear weapons against the U.S. and the world, right?
Oh, it's absolutely a North Korean cover-up. Basically, what the North Koreans want to do is flex their muscles. They have a new leader, Kim Jong-un, who's only 28 years old, and the generals in Pyongyang don't really trust him. They're not really sure if he has the leadership ability to basically make sure their country is as strong as it can be. So he's trying to prove himself. He's trying to prove he's a man. His father ran the country with an iron fist. His grandfather also ran the country with an iron fist. And this is just the latest in his attempted gamesmanship to show how tough he is, to show how tough North Korea is. And the worst part about it is the North Koreans, even though they may not attack us directly, even though they're going to have this capability to do so, the worst part about it is they give their weapons rapidly and their technology rapidly to places like Iran. In Iran, I think they're a lot more likely to use it against us. And Iran is paying very close attention to this. So however we treat North Korea, Iran cues on that. And if we show weakness towards North Korea, it just encourages Iran to be even more provocative.
Tell us more about North Korea's new leader. How will Kim Jong-il's youngest son impact international security scenarios?
Well, Kim Jong-un is only 28 years old, and so he came to power pretty early because his two older brothers really had a lot of problems with the succession. his older brother basically tried to sneak into Tokyo Disney, and he got arrested a number of years ago trying to take some folks in there on a fake passport. And then his middle brother has apparently plays too many video games for Kim Jong-il, and so he decided that Kim Jong-un, the third son, the youngest son, would take over. And he's not a very experienced guy. You know, he's only 28. And so the generals really want to test him. And so he has to basically show that he is a tough guy. He can take on the United States, South Korea, and Japan. And so it's not really not surprising that they're conducting this long-range missile test. It's unfortunate, but, you know, we really have to be strong in trying to force as many sanctions as we can on North Korea and not keep giving them food aid, because when we give them food aid, it just encourages them to act even worse and in a more threatening way towards us.
Well, what's Japan, South Korea, and the client, China, doing in reaction to this impending rocket launch?
Well, Japan's already said it's going to shoot down the missile if it poses a threat to the Japanese territory. Basically, they'll have Japanese Aegis missile ships out in the Sea of Japan. They've got four of them in the U.S. We've got a couple dozen of them. And they could actually shoot it down with an SM-3 missile should it approach Japanese territory. The Japanese also have PAC-3, their advanced Patriot missiles. And they could fire those from land, both from the mainland Japan and from Okinawa, to shoot down the missile should it impact Japanese territory. But what I expect the North Koreans to do is probably shoot a missile like they did in 1998 over Japan and into the Pacific. And then the question is, will the United States try to shoot it down with an Aegis ballistic missile defense capable ship, or will the Japanese try to do it? And I'm not so sure they will. And certainly under the leadership of President Obama, I think he'd be afraid to do anything like that, because if we do shoot down a North Korean missile, there's no telling what the North Koreans may do in retaliation against the South.
You know that North Korea pulled out of nuclear disarmament talks and launched a rocket in 2009, even though the UN condemned it. Is the UN even a relevant force anymore? I believe they should be kicked out of the United States.
No, not anymore. You know, I wrote a column a couple years ago. It's called Whatever Happened to the UN, and it was basically about the Korean Peninsula, how that the UN used to be a very proud international organization that went to war on behalf of freedom for South Koreans in the 1950s. And now it's more like a left-wing debating club. I mean, this is an institution that puts Libya and Cuba on their human rights councils. And so I don't think the UN's very well respected anymore. It's more just a group that pontificates how to restrain U.S. power, even though the U.S. still provides about 22% of the UN budget, which is really disturbing to me. I think we really need to reevaluate our entire dealings with the UN and start withholding funding unless they're a little more forthright in trying to protect freedom and democracy around the world.
Let's turn to the Middle East. A rocket from Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, it launches against southern Israel. How does the region respond?
Well, I think the region is very tense right now, because what we've seen is Islamists take over in these Arab Spring countries. The Obama administration threw their weight behind whichever movements it thought would win. But unfortunately, in places like Egypt and Tunisia and Yemen, what we're seeing is Islamists starting to take power in these countries. And so the fact that a rocket would be shot from Egypt into Israel is not surprising. And in fact, I think it's even going to get worse. Remember the Muslim Brotherhood, when they put forth all these candidates for parliament, and they were very successful. Actually, Islamists now have the majority in the Egyptian parliament. Now they say they want the presidency, and so they're going to run a candidate for the Muslim Brotherhood. And if that should happen, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is in favor basically not peaceful relations with Israel. I think we would have a lot more attacks, both from terrorists and state-sponsored attacks against Israel. So it really concerns me, and I think that the Obama administration has not shown that he's very favorable towards Israel, particularly when you talk about past administrations, and I think it's very dangerous. And I think we're going to see more of that, unfortunately.
And with regard to Israel and Iran, which is the hunter and which is the prey? How long will it be until they fight?
Well, Iran poses an imminent threat to Israel. Ahmadinejad has already said he wants to wipe Israel off the map. And, you know, when Hitler said things about wanting to wipe Poland off the map, he meant what he said. So I think we need to take Ahmadinejad at his word. I think that their nuclear program is a real concern for us in Israel. They very well may launch a nuclear weapon at Israel if they have the opportunity to do so. So I think that Israel must look out for their self-interest. I think they need to be prepared to conduct an airstrike. But, you know, even if they did conduct an airstrike, which the Obama administration is unfortunately leaking information about how they would do that and where they would stage planes, and it's very disturbing. But even if Israel conducts a strike on Iran, that's only going to set the Iranians back a year or two, because they don't have the type of bunker buster bombs or the aerial refueling capability that the United States has. So if they set Iran back a year or two, Israel would bomb them and inflame the regional opinion against them, but they're not going to stop the program. The only way to stop the nuclear program in Iran is to have regime change, to make sure they stop doing it. And basically, the best way to support regime change is to support the opposition to kick Ahmadinejad and the mullahs out of power. And really, we haven't been doing much at all to support the opposition. We've had sanctions against Iran, but so far those haven't worked. They've had a little bit of an impact, and it's made life uncomfortable for Iranians, but it hasn't dissuaded the regime from marching full speed ahead to get their nuclear program up to speed so they can be a threat to Israel and also Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a bitter enemy of Iran as well.
How is our leftist president, our Neville Chamberlain, perceived on the world stage?
I think Obama is perceived as a weak leader overseas, and that's one of the reasons we have problems like Iran and North Korea that are trying to prove that they're players on the world stage. They want to reduce the U.S. power in the region, and I think that it doesn't help us when we have a president that goes around doing things like bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia and apologizing for the U.S. at every opportunity he can. Basically, I think President Obama has a very naive worldview, where he sees that if he just explains the U.S. power, apologizes for it, and actually reduces our military power, he's reducing our power for our nuclear arsenal. He's spearheading these $1 trillion in cuts to the Defense Department, which is going to hollow out our military. So when he's sending all these signals around the world, it encourages our enemies that, hey, we can do whatever we want. The U.S. isn't going to do a thing about it. And so I think that the international community really doesn't respect President Obama, and that, of course, weakens America.
J.D. Gordon, thanks for sharing with us on The Savage Nation.
Thanks again for having me on the air, Michael. I really appreciate it. Again, our website is www.protectamericatoday.com.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Read you some of the songs I have on my song sheets that bring back a certain time in America that I loved, when the chrome was thick and the women voted Republican. I like Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas. I like Book of Love by the Monotones. I love Little Star by the Elegants. Play Little Star by the Elegants. I want to see that. That's on my song sheet number three. Little Star by the Elegants.
Are you little star?
And I'll give you a memory lane. I'll give you a memory lane as I listen. I was in the ninth grade. I had skipped the grade. I was small for my age. I was 2 years ahead of myself. Some of the kids in the junior high school had been in jail already and were released. So therefore, I was a small ninth grader, and there was some very large 12th graders who should have been in prison. And I was listening to this song. They were dating, and I was still playing with the airplanes at home. How's that for a memory? How's that for a Pickle of Truth tour? All right, let's stop for a minute. I'm going to really go out on a limb today. I'm in the mood to take a chance because I feel as though it's graduation day, so I'm just going to have some fun. I'll do the news. I'll do the views. I'll do the reviews. But how much of this news can you take? We know Obama's a Marxist. We know that he's on training wheels. We know no matter what he does, no matter how that much damage he does, no one's going to stop him. We understand that we don't live in a democracy. We understand we live in a dictatorship that's punctuated by a democracy every 4 years, if you want to call buying the election a democracy. Let's see, the cost of a seat for a Senate seat is $100 million. The cost of the presidency is $1 billion. Anyone want to enter it in this great democracy of ours? Oh, yeah, in America, anyone can be president as long as you can raise $1 billion. That's all. And if you own the media, as the training wheel president does, it makes it easier. I mean, if you own the media, what more do you need? So here's a guy from a group called Politico, which I never heard of, in clip five, who says that President Obama is the greatest orator of modern times. Listen to this.
The bloom isn't entirely off the rose between Obama and the press, but reporters are starting to concentrate more than ever on what he says rather than how he says it. We will stipulate that he's the greatest orator of modern times. But
hey,
now
schmuck. Schmuckola. Schmuckola. Hey, Putz. Putz, there's a difference between rhetoric and substance, schmuck. Didn't you learn that in high school? I mean, the first book I read in high school literature was called Style and Substance. I guess you didn't get to that in your journalism school. You didn't learn that in journalism school? There are a lot of great orators, but they're full of you-know-what. They know how to sway the moronic public. I mean, if you got a public that go see a junkie disgrace himself on the stage, a man who is disgracing the word human being, and they'll go pay for it while they're stoned, then you can understand anyone can be president of the United States of America. I don't even want to get into this, truthfully. I told you I feel good, and I'm not going to let it be ruined by you. Just because you're a listener who wants to see me crash and burn, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to look at my song sheet now. We got a whole lot of shaking going on. No, too hectic. In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins? No, I'm not into the triglyceride problem right now. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley? Eh, a little dated. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard? A little dirty. Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia? God, play Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. I want to hear Love is Strange. Blah, 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 blah. Remember this stupid song? Love is strange. Love hitting that cowbell really worked. Take it for a game. And it was called that hillbilly background guitar is what did it for us boys in New York. It was so different than our lives. That whole thing of the hillbilly guitar, we loved it. God, we loved it. It was so, rhythmically sensitive to our needs. All right, knock it off. I know what they want. They want the red meat. They want the right-wing red meat. Just give them the red meat. Cut out the ad-lib, Mike. Cut out the music. We don't pay to hear you do the music. You can't have a good time, Mike. Do the news. Stick to the work. Kill yourself. Eat your heart out. Go to an early grave. Every day, dig a deeper, Mike. Go ahead. Go into the news. Talk about the communists in the White House. Eat your heart out over the fake Republicans. Go ahead, Mike. Eat your heart out. Don't listen to music. Don't enjoy yourself. They don't want to hear anything but stick to the hard work. All right, cut the garbage. No jokes. No entertainment. All right, cut it out. We're not interested in Come Softly to Me by the Fleetwoods. All right? How about Blueberry Hill? I play that too much. Now, here's one I liked. Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas, and I'll tell you why. The minute you listen to it, you'll know why I love this song, or at least I did when I was a kid. Let's hear Sorry I Ran All the Way Home. Yeah, turn the show off and listen to the grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. Go ahead. Go hear the histrionic yells and the screams. See if I care. Go listen to your grandmother screaming. Obama, Obama! The Republicans are good, Obama! Obama, no good! Okay, turn it off already. I know why I like this song, but I don't want to tell you. It's too personal. When I went to college, which was quite a while ago, we were required to read certain books. I think it was the University of Chicago 100 Great Books. And one of them was Thorsten Veblen's Conspicuous Consumption. Either it was an essay or a book. But we were raised to understand that conspicuous consumption was vulgar and garish. Now, really, in a way, looking back, it's kind of communistic because it's very un-American to teach you not to buy things. I realize that. But I was definitely imprinted with that. I mean, certain things I like, and I don't buy them. I don't think I buy them to be conspicuous. I buy them because they're great and they run well. Like, did I buy my car to be conspicuous with the car? No, I bought it because it's the best car in the world, for example. Okay, that's an example. I think that's the reason. I mean, there are good cars, but they don't run well, generally. They don't give me a sense of, let us say, security or control that I would get out of a better machine. I like really good machines. Same with boat. I could have gotten a smaller, lesser boat, but they're not as good. I don't want something that might break down or I have no control over. You see what I mean? It's like with a gun. Same with a gun. I mean, there's lesser guns than the kind of guns that I own, all right? We get into the guns now, the gun nuts will call. But the truth is, I don't want a gun that's going to explode in my hand. So you could say conspicuous consumption, buy a cheap gun. No, I don't want a Saturday Night Special that blows up in my hand. I want the best machine gun in the world, right? And there are quite a few. Now, I'm not going to do guns right now because I know you're going to call. Man engulfed in flames at San Francisco porn shop. Here, this is these are the kind of values Nancy Pelosi talks about when she talks about San Francisco values. A man was hospitalized this evening with life-threatening third-degree burns after somehow catching fire inside a San Francisco porn store. How do you catch fire in a porn store? I don't understand. I mean, you could start with the jokes, you know, friction and all that, but come on. That doesn't make sense. The man had apparently been watching videos in a private booth at the adult arcade, meaning the degenerates arcade, when the fire ignited. So now you go to the bloggers. Bloggers are smart, some of them. Some are idiots, but here's someone wrote, that must have been some hot porn. Okay, stupid, but funny. Let's see this one. Amyl nitrate poppers is an inhalant that is used to intensify and prolong male climax and extremely flammable. You see, that's interesting. Okay, that's a mystery now. It's like graffiti. Has anyone noticed that? Am I the first one to note that? You can steal it if you'd like and put it on someone's show tomorrow. But if you look at blog comments on some odd stories or even intelligence stories, some of them are pretty amazing, but they remind me of graffiti on bathhouse walls. No, I can't read that. I don't know. Some of it's idiotic. Man engulfed in flames at San Francisco porn shop. Let's leave it at that. How could he catch fire? We don't know.
Savage.